Macrophone pre-out Edward table of contents ask a question next. 2 out of 3 like this chapter ratios and proportions. Sometimes we write fractions in a different way. Instead of drawing a line, we use 2 dots. We get something like this. But it still means exactly the same thing. The difference is, we usually use the line when we have one thing that is chopped up into pieces, like a pizza. We use the 2 dots, called a colon, when we are talking about some of the members of a group or comparing 2 different things. The 2 dots way of writing things is sometimes called a ratio and sometimes called a proportion, but it is never called a fraction. Example. Say that there are 10 people in a math class. 3 of them got A's on the last test. So we say, 3 out of 10 got A's on the test. We would write this as 3-10. More examples. 3 out of 9 players on the team are over 6 feet tall. 3:9. 2 out of 3 kids in the family go to Jefferson Middle School. 2:3. Remember, the part on the right is the whole thing. We could have said that last one as 2 out kids in the family go to Jefferson Middle School. The other kid in the family is too young for school. It is the same problem, but you have to figure out how many kids are in the family. There is one way these things work just like fractions. We can reduce them the same way. Example. Say we have this. 4 out of 10 people in the class are boys. 4-10. Can we show the same ratio with smaller numbers? Let's see. First, find the prime factors of 4 and 10. So we can write our ratio like this. 2 times 2, 2 times 5. If everything is multiplied together on each side, it is. If the same number shows up on both sides, it does. We can change them both to ones just like we did with fractions. Try another one. Example. 3 of 12. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. Mathprof Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents ask a question next. Mathprof Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents ask a question prev next. What's the point? Decimal numbers. When we write $1, we sometimes write $1.00. That is because our money is divided up into pieces of dollars called cents. The number on the right of the period, in math we call it a decimal point, are for those pieces of a dollar. To write a quarter, also known as 25 cents, we can write $0.25. 2 quarters, sometimes known as 50 cents, but never 50 cent, looks like this. $0.50. The S with a line through it is just a code. This code says we're talking about dollars or pieces of dollars. It's not really part of the number. We could use addition and add 2 quarters to get 50 cents like this. If we start with 2 quarters, 50 cents, and add another 2 quarters, 50 cents, it looks like this. No big surprise here. Most people know that 4 quarters is the same as a dollar. The big thing is to see how these numbers add together. When you add these numbers, the decimal points must line up. Example. Add 38 cents plus 24 cents. We can do subtraction with this stuff too. Example. 81 cents minus 30 cents. The word cent comes from some foreign language. It means 100. There are 100 cents in a dollar. This is like a pizza with 100 slices. Each cent is one slice. In our slice of pizza way of writing numbers, we could write 1 cent like this. Using our new decimal point way, we can write 1 cent like this. $0.01. But hey, a penny is a penny no matter how you write it so. There are 4 quarters in $1. Using the pizza slice fraction method, we can say that there are 4 quarter-sized slices in $1. So for 1 quarter we can write. Using our new decimal point method we can write 1 quarter, 25 cents, as $0.25. And a quarter is a quarter so. Example. There are 10 dimes in a dollar, like a pizza with 10 slices, each dime is also worth 10 cents. If we wanted to add 2 dimes together we could write. And we could also write. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. Mathprof Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents ask a question prev next. Mathprof Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents ask a question prev next. 0.2 decimal number manipulation. A dollar just happens to be cut into 100 slices. What if it wasn't? There is nothing so special about a number with 2 places on the right side of the decimal point. If our dollar was cut up into 1,000 pieces, we would need 3 number places, called decimal places in fancy math talk, on the right side. $1.000. We could still add this stuff up the same way, just remember that the decimal point on all numbers must line up. Examples. Add .391 and .608. Subtract .206 from .978. In fact, we could have any number of places on the right of the decimal point. Examples. What happens if we have two numbers to add that look like this? .3157 plus .23. First, we line up the decimal points. Wait a minute, there are four digits in the first number and only two in the second one. So, don't all the numbers have to have the same number of places on the right side of the decimal point? No, they do not. If it makes you feel better, you can put in zeros after the .23 until it has as many digits as the other number. The zeros won't change the value at all. Now let's add. Subtraction works the same way. Example. .83.011. Step 1. Step 2. Step 3. Okay, now look at this one. Example. How do we deal with this puppy? Remember the elevator? This time, each floor is .1 instead of 1. Did you notice that the decimal didn't really change the steps at all? Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. 100 pieces per cents. When we write 50 cents as a number, sometimes we use a decimal point. $0.50. Sometimes we don't use a decimal point. We write 50 cents like this. 50 cents. This cents thing is called the cent sign. Big news, eh? Anyway, cent means 100 in some language. The cent sign says that the dollar is chopped up into 100 pieces and the number next to it is how many we have, kind of like a fraction, you know. Math types thought that was kind of neat and came up with the word percent. The per part means divided by. So percent means divided by 100. A percent is a special kind of fraction. It is so special that it gets its own special squiggle. They wanted the squiggle to look like a fraction, but not be a fraction. They came up with this. Percent. So, now we have three ways to write 50 out of 100 pieces of anything. Examples. .38 equals 38%. .73 equals 73%. 1.06 equals 106%. 1.00 equals 100%. 6.02 equals 602%. 10.31 equals 1031%. See how it works? Say you want to make a decimal number into a percentage. Just move the decimal point two places to the right and tack on the percent. Example. Change 3.81 to a percent. Step 1. Step 2. Example. Change .153 to a percent. Step 1. Step 2. Since we can change a decimal number to a percent, it should be no big shock that we can change a percent back to a decimal number. Just erase the percent sign and move the decimal point two places to the left. Example. Change 32% to a decimal number. Step 1. Step 2. To change a percent to a fraction, get rid of the percent and put 100 under the number. Example. Change 33% to a fraction. Step 1. Step 2. Example. Change 3.5% to a fraction. Step 1. Step 2. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. It's time for a change unit conversion. If you wanted to find out how many feet were in 2 yards, you might say, well, let's see, there's 3 feet in 1 yard, so there must be 6 feet in 2 yards. That works just fine. But what if you wanted to find out how many inches there are in 2,500 miles? Or find out how many feet per second there are in 55 miles per hour, then we need a better plan. Good news, we have one. Here it is. Take another look at that, how many feet are in 2 yards. Problem. We have 2 yards, and we want to have our answer in feet. To get there, we need to do something very, very tricky. We need to multiply by 1. Okay, that really is a trick. The trick is the way we write the number 1 that we use to multiply. Anytime we have a fraction with the same amount on the top and the bottom, we have a fraction equal to 1, except when that amount is 0. Anyway, if we have a fraction with 1 yard on the top and 1 yard on the bottom, we have a fraction equal to 1. We also know that 1 yard is equal to 3 feet. So instead of 1 yard, we can write 3 feet for either the top part or the bottom part of our fraction, and we haven't changed anything. Like this. This is our big new trick on this page. The trick is the way we write the fraction that is equal to 1. We write it with things that look different on the top and the bottom, but are actually worth the same amount. Now we have our new special name for 1. We are ready to multiply the 2 yards. To make things even out, we can put a denominator of 1 under the 2 yards. Okay, we did it, but look. What kind of a thing is 6 yards x feet? Who knows? And if we had to leave it looking like that, we wouldn't have anything too great. But look, we have the word yards in the top and the word yard, close enough, in the bottom part. We can cancel them out. You're kidding. Nope. Works every time. The only thing is that everything on top and everything on the bottom must be multiplied. No addition or subtraction. So, that means 2 yards equals 6 feet. Hey, we knew that 6 feet was the answer all along, so this is no shock. But let's go over exactly how we come up with the funny name for 1. The fraction gets units that are what we have to begin with and what we want to end up with. We had yards and wanted to get to feet. We know we want feet for one number and yards for the other. Which gets which? Do we want? Here's the deal. Put the units you want on top and the units you have on the bottom. The units you have go on the bottom so you can cancel them. We had yards to begin with, so the one we want is. Try another one. Example. Suppose we're really bored and want to find out how many feet there are in 2,500 miles. You look up, or maybe you know, that there are 5,280 feet in a mile. That is, 5,280 feet equals 1 mile. Since these two things are worth the same amount, we can use them in a fraction as our names for 1. We have miles and want feet, so miles goes on the bottom and feet goes on the top. Now we multiply 2,500 miles by this fraction that's equal to 1. So everybody has a denominator, we put a 1 under the 2,500 miles, a calculator really helps here. Since we have miles on the top and mile on the bottom, and everything is multiplied, we can get rid of them. Hey, that's a lot of feet. Okay, one more and we're done. Example. Tennessee Ernie Ford asks you to change 16 tons to ounces. If you look in a reference book, you will find that 1 ton equals 2,000 pounds. You will also find that 1 pound equals 16 ounces. But you probably won't find how many ounces are in a ton. So here's the plan. First we change 16 tons to some number of pounds. Then we change that number of pounds to ounces. Ready? Okay, we have 16 tons and want pounds. That means pounds goes on the top and ounces goes on the bottom. 2,000 pounds equals 1 ton. We have tons on the top and ton on the bottom. Everything is multiplied, so we can cancel tons of stuff. Hehehe, okay, it wasn't funny. One part down and one to go. Now we have pounds and want ounces. So 16 ounces goes on top and 1 pound goes on the bottom. 1 pound equals 16 ounces. We have pounds on the top and pounds on the bottom. Everything is multiplied. We can cancel the pounds. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Leftovers division with remainders. Say you wanted to divide 5 pizzas into 2 equal piles. How many are in each pile? We have a problem. We can put 2 pizzas in each pile, but we have 1 left over. What do we do with it? We could just call it a leftover or remainder. We could say 5 divided by 2 equals 2 with 1 left over. That's okay, I guess. But it's not a real answer. The real answer is to cut that last pizza in half. Now we have the same amount in each pile. There's nothing left over. So how much is in each pile? In each pile we have 2 whole pizzas plus 1 piece out of 2. Hey, that last part sounds like a fraction. It sure does. We have. You might not don't know how to add these two things together. to make one number yet. For now, just write them next to each other like this. This thing is made up of a whole number and a fraction. We call it a mixed number. Since we are big time math types now, we can write. Example. Divide 7 into 3 equal piles. Did you catch that 1/3 part? Here's a toughie. Example. Divide 8 into 3 equal piles. Oops. This time we have 2 left over. What do we do? If we had only 1 left over, we could cut it into 3 equal pieces. Then put 1 piece in each pile. Here we do that to each one of the 2 that are left over. So what do we have in each pile? We can add those pieces together. So when we divide 8 into 3 piles, we have... Okay, here's the deal. We had 2 left over. We divided them into 3 piles. The parts in each pile added up to... Here's a news flash. That's how leftovers always work. Example. Divide 2 into 5 piles. In each pile we have... So when we do 2 divided into 5 piles, we get... Pop quiz. What do we get if we divide 3 into 7 piles? Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Denominators mean division fraction denominator equivalence. Here's a riddle. What's the difference between? Nothing. They both mean the same thing. Sometimes when we do math, we will say, take 8 and divide it by 2. It might be easier with some problems to write it like this. And other problems might be easier to do like this. Either way, we will get to the same answer. Most of the time, when we divide some number, what we get is different from what we started with. But, there is one time that when we divide that doesn't happen. Sometimes we end up with the same number we had to start. That happens when we divide by 1. Okay, great, swell, so what? The so what is that we can change any number to a fraction with a 1 on the bottom anytime we want. It doesn't change anything. Swell. There is one kind of division that we can't do. We can't divide anything by 0. Don't try it. It makes a big mess. Someday, if you keep studying math, you will get to the tricks that let you sneak up on stuff like this. Until then, don't do it. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. No more division multiplicative inverse of division. Most people like multiplying more than they like dividing. It would be great if we could change division into multiplication. We can. Say we have 21 and we want to divide it by 7. 21 divide by 7. Instead of dividing by 7, we need to find something to multiply by instead. What? Here's the deal, instead of dividing by 7, we multiply by 1/7. We multiply by the thing that times 7 equals 1. It is called the multiplicative inverse of 7. Step 1, give the number a denominator of 1. Now we multiply this by 1/7. Multiplying fractions together is pretty easy. To multiply them, you just multiply the numerators, numbers on top, and the denominators, numbers on the bottom. Now simplify, if possible. 21 is equal to 7x3, so... Example. Divide 28 by 4. 28 divided by 4 equals... The take the 4 and flip it over to get 1/4 and multiply. Now simplify, if possible. 28 equals 4x7, so... We could have broken those 4s into 2x2 to get all the way to prime factors before simplifying, if we wanted to. Okay, so far this is pretty easy. In fact, we have seen it all on earlier pages in a slightly different way. But here's where we really need this stuff. Divide 3 by 2/3. Ikey, nasty. What do we do? Don't sweat it. Just flip over the thing you are dividing by and multiply. We can write the 3 as 3/1 to make things look nice if we want. Always look to see if you can simplify these. This time, the number on top breaks into prime factors as 9 equals 3x3. I think we saw those 3s a second ago. There are no 3s that are in that denominator of 2. That means we can't simplify this one. Here's another one. Example. Divide 3/5 by 2/3. And... The prime factors in the top part are 3x3. The prime factors in the bottom part are 5x2. No numbers show up in both places, so there's nothing to cancel. Okay, one more. Example. Divide 3 by 3 slash 4. Oh no, not a negative number. Yet a negative number, no big deal. The negative number doesn't change a thing. Do the problem the same way. Put a 1 under the minus 3 as a denominator and we're off. Now multiply. Try to simplify by breaking both parts into prime factors. The prime factors of 12 are minus 1 x2 x2 x3. The prime factors of 3 are, 3, so. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Fancy division long division. There is another way that we can write division problems. Say we have 21 divided by 3. Another way to do this is, write down the 3 and the 21 next to each other, like this. And draw a line that goes between the numbers and over the 21, like this. Now we're ready to start. Since what we're dividing by is a 3, we need to think about dividing things into 3 piles. Start with the first number under the lines, the 2. Can we divide 2 into 3 piles evenly? What do you mean evenly? I mean with whole numbers, not fractions. No, we can't. Can we divide it up so that there is at least one whole one in each pile? No, we can't. Okay, then we go on. Look at the next number under the lines 2. Can we divide 21 into 3 piles evenly? I think so. So there are 7 in each pile. Write 7 above the 1 in 21. Now multiply the number on the top, the 7, times the number on the left, the 3. Write the answer under the 21. 7x3 equals 21. Subtract the number you just wrote down from the number above it. Since we got 0 as the answer when we subtracted, we're done. 21 divided by 3 equals 7. The answer is the number at the top. Okay, so the dividing up 21 into 3 piles way of doing things is going to get old real fast. Did you notice that 3x7 equals 21? That means when we're doing these, instead of writing the piles, we can just say 3 times what is 21. If you know the times tables up that far, it's easy. Try another one. Example. What is 224 divided by 8? Compare the 8 to the first number under the lines. 8 is bigger than 2. There's no whole number that. 8 times that number equals 2. That means we look at the next number under the lines 2. Is 22 bigger than 8? Yes, we're in business. Figure out how many 8s there are in 22. 1 times 8 equals 8. 2 times 8 equals 16. 3 times 8 equals 24. Okay, 2x8 is smaller than 22. 3x8 is bigger than 22. What do we do now? 2 is the biggest number that we can use and stay less than 22. That means we use 2. Write the 2 at the top. Write it above the second 2 under the lines. It goes above that 2 because we have used both of the 2s under the line to get it. Now multiply the number at the top, the 2, times the number at the left, the 8. Write the answer at the bottom. 2x8 equals 16, so. We wrote the 16 under the 22 because we used the 22 to get it. Now subtract the 16 from the 22. 22, 16 equals 6. We can't get any more 8s out of that 6. The 6 needs help. It can get help from the last number in the 224. The 4 that's still sitting up under the lines. Bring it down next to the 6 at the bottom. Now the 6 is a 64. How many 8s are there in 64? 1 times 8 equals 8. 2 times 8 equals 16. 3 times 8 equals 24. 4 times 8 equals 32. 5 times 8 equals 40. 6 times 8 equals 48. 7 times 8 equals 56. 8 times 8 equals 64. We have a winner. 8x8 equals 64. Write the 8 at the top next to the 2 and above the 4. Multiply the new number at the top, the 8, times the number at the left, the 8, and write that at the bottom. 8x8 equals 64. I think we've seen that somewhere before. Now subtract that number from the number above it. We're all out of numbers, so we're done. The answer is the number at the top. 224 divided by 8 equals 28. 224 divided by 8 equals 28. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. Macrophone pre-algebra table of contents, ask a question, prev next. Macrophone pre-algebra table of contents, ask a question, prev next. Pointy division, decimal number division. Once upon a time, we said that 1 slash 4 of a dollar was equal to 0.25 of a dollar, also known as a quarter. Let's do that problem with fancy division. We take a dollar, 1, and divide it by 4. The dollar sign dollar isn't really needed for the math. It just says we're talking about dollars. It just gets in the way of the numbers, so we don't use it in the problem. The problem is, there aren't any 4s in the 1. What do? We use this trick. 1 equals 1.0 equals 1.00 equals 1.000 equals, we could go on forever. We can write the problem like this to start. Later, we can add as many zeros to the right of the point as we need. Now, put a point, a decimal point, on top of the line right above the other one. Now you can just forget the decimal point is even there. Just divide. 2x4 equals 8, 3x4 equals 12, so use 2, since 2x4 equals 8, write the 8 at the bottom and subtract, then bring down the next 0. The number that's left at the bottom is a 20. Divide 20 into groups of 4. 4x4 equals 16, 5x4 equals 20 piles of 5 each, use up the 20, write the 5 at the top and subtract 20 at the bottom. We're out of numbers, so we're done. So if you cut a dollar into 4 pieces, each one is worth 0.25. Big news, eh? Try another one. Example. 3 divided by 8. Put a decimal point and some zeros after the 3. It really doesn't matter how many zeros we use right now. We can always add more later. If we have too many, we just don't use the extras. Now, put a point, a decimal point, on top of the line right above the other one. And divide. 3x8 equals 24, 4x8 equals 32, so use 3, since 3x8 equals 24, write the 24 at the bottom and subtract, then bring down the next 0. The number that's left at the bottom is a 60. Divide 60 into groups of 8. 7x8 equals 56, 8x8 equals 64 piles of 7 each, use up as much of the 60 as we can here. Write the 7 at the top and subtract 56 at the bottom. We're not out of numbers, so we add another 0, bring it all the way down, and divide some more. The number that's left at the bottom is a 40. Divide 40 into groups of 8. 4x8 equals 32, 5x8 equals 40, bingo. Piles of 5 each, use up all of the 40. This is the last round. Write the 5 at the top and subtract 40 at the bottom. Let's do one more. Example. 22 divided by 8. 22 divided by 8. 2x8 equals 16, 3x8 equals 24, use 2. 22 is bigger than 8, but now we have a 6 at the bottom. 6 is smaller than 8, so we need a decimal point and some zeros. 7x8 equals 56. 8x8 equals 64. Use 7. We still have numbers at the bottom, so add another 0 and go on. 4x8 equals 32. 5x8 equals 40. Use 5. We're finally out of numbers, so we're done. Wow, these problems can get really long. Maybe that's why they call this long division. You think? Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. Macrophone pre-algebra table of contents, ask a question, prev next. Macrophone pre-algebra table of contents, ask a question, prev next. On the average, finding the mean. There's this thing that math types love to do when they have a bunch of numbers. It's called finding the average. It goes like this. Say you have a bunch of numbers, like maybe exam scores. First you add them up. Then you divide the total you get by how many numbers you added together. Watch. Say you have test scores of 83, 89, 96, and 90. What is the average of your scores? Step 1. Add the numbers. Calculators can help with this kind of stuff, but estimate your answer before you start punching the buttons. Step 2. Divide the total by the number of scores you added together. The average is 89.5. So the average is 89.5, so what? What does that mean? Between all of the tests, you got 358 points. If you had gotten the same score on each test and had gotten 358 total points, each score would have been 89.5. So let's say that this is your grade for some class. The teacher says that the grade is for the class. are only based on the average of the test scores. For 90 to 100 you get an A, for 80 to 89.99 you get a B, for 70 to 79.99 you get a C murmur. Some teachers might just give you the A, some might let you do some extra work to get the A, this teacher says. You can take one more test. Whatever your average is after that test is your final grade. So, if you get your average up to 90, you get the A. Great. So just what do you need to get on that last test? You have to get more than 90 to bring your average up. How much more? 91? 96? Who knows? I know. And in a minute, you will too. You took 4 tests so far. After this one, you will have taken 5. Averaging 90 is like getting a 90 on each. If you got a 90 on each, how many points would you have? So to average 90 for 5 tests, you need 450 total points. So far, you have 358 points. How many do you need on the last test? You need a 92. Not too bad. But wait, what if you crash? How bad would you have to do to move your grade down to a C? To get a C, you need to have an average of less than 80. The easiest way to do this is to see how many points you need to average 80, then subtract 1. To average 80 for 5 tests you need. To get a C you need 1 less point, so 399. You already have 358 points, so a 41k that should be no problem to beat. So you're pretty safe from the C, and have a fair shot at the A. Let's do another one. Example. Sometimes one test counts more than another, like maybe the final exam counts twice as much as the other tests. Say that was so, and you got these scores. Test 1, 78, test 2, 84, final, 100. What is the average score? Okay, since the final counts more than the other tests, we can't just add up all of the scores and divide by 3, but this one's not too bad. Since the final counts exactly twice as much as the other tests, just add it in twice. And now divide by 4. Since we added the final in twice, we have 4 scores. 4 scores, haven't I heard something like that in a speech somewhere? The middle part here is a bit tricky, be sure to look at it. 36, 36 equals 0, bring down the 2. The 2 is less than the 4, so bring down the next number. The average is 90.5. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Order, order, order of operations. Say you have a problem like this. 3 plus 4 times 6. Before you say 42, you need to know a special rule. Multiplication gets done before addition. That means first we multiply. 4 times 6 equals 24. Then we add. 3 plus 24 equals 27. Okay, fine. Do x before plus. Are there any other things like that to remember? A few. Multiplication gets done before subtraction. So if we have 2 times 6, 3. First we multiply. 2 times 6 equals 12. Then we subtract. 12, 3 equals 9. Division gets done before addition. So if we have 3 plus 10 divide by 2. First we divide. 10 divide by 2 equals 5. Then we add. 3 plus 5 equals 8. Division gets done before subtraction. So if we have 6 divide by 3, 2. First we divide. 6 divide by 3 equals 2. Then we subtract. 2, 2 equals 0. Think of multiplication and division as the big shots. They go first. Addition and subtraction follow along after. Well, let's put that all together in one sentence. Multiplication and division come before addition and subtraction. Okay, that's fine. But what do we do with this puppy? 2 times 6 divide by 4. Multiplication and division are equal big shots. Which goes first? The rule for stuff like this says, when you have signs of equal importance, go left to right. So we do. 2 times 6 equals 12. Then we do. 12 divide by 4 equals 3. Addition and subtraction work the same way, just go left to right. Example. 2, 6 plus 5. First subtract. 2, 6 equals 4. Oh no, not a negative number. Then add. 4 plus 5 equals 1. Now let's do a nasty one. Example. 3 times 5, 2 plus 4, 6 divide by 2. The multiplication and division get done first. 3 times 5 equals 15. 6 divide by 2 equals 3. Remember, the signs are different, so the answer is negative. Now the problem looks like this. 15, 2 plus 4, 3. What's left is all addition and subtraction, so just go left to right. 15, 2 equals 13. 13 plus 4 equals 17. 17, 3 equals 14. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Me first. Parenthesis. In the last chapter, we said, do multiplication and division before addition and subtraction. If you have signs of equal importance, go left to right. Well, there's one exception. Sometimes we have parentheses in the problem, like this. 8 plus 4 divide by 4, 2. Here's how these work. The stuff inside a set of parentheses is in its own little world. It gets done first. So, after we've done everything inside the parentheses, we don't need them anymore. 12 divide by 2 equals 6. Example. 2 plus 3 times 4 divide by 2. 2 plus 12 divide by 2. 2 plus 6. 8. Example. 2 plus 3 times 4 divide by 2. 5 times 4 divide by 2. 5 times 2. 10. Example. 2 plus 3 times 4 divide by 2. 2 plus 12 divide by 2. 14 divide by 2. 7. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Fancy multiplying exponents. Sometimes we need to multiply a number times itself, like 2 times 2 equals 4. And sometimes we need to multiply the number times itself a bunch of times. 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 equals 32. If we multiply a bunch of a number, it gets easy to make a mistake. Math people wanted a quick way to write these down these problems. They came up with a way that uses very little space no matter how big the problem is. What they do is write the number once, then they write down how many times the number gets multiplied. So everybody knows which number means what. It gets written like this. 25 means 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2. The little number 5 up in the air is called an exponent. In math talk, that means how many times you multiply the number times itself. There's an easy mistake you can make when you start to work with these exponent things. That is to try to multiply the exponent, to see this problem as 2x5. No. The exponent just tells you what to do. It says, multiply the number to my left, times itself this many times. So, 21 equals 2. 24 equals 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 equals 16. 210 equals 2 times 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 2 equals 1024. Wow, exponents are really powerful. Take a 2 and a 10 and bingo, you've got 1024. Because of this, exponents are sometimes called powers. If you have 36, you would say 3 raised to the 6th power or just 3 to the 6th power for short. Even 3 to the 6th for mega short. Pop quiz, does 36 mean 3 times 6? Not a chance. It means 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 equals 729. The bad news is that there's no easy way to multiply 6 3s together. You multiply the first 2, 3x3 equals 9. Then multiply that by the third 3, 9x3 equals 27 and so on. If you have a nice calculator, it might have a key like this. If it does, try getting the answer to 36 using these key punches. If that doesn't make the calculator come back with 729, check the instructions. Some calculators, especially some made by Hewlett-Packard, use a different key order. Okay, review time. 23 equals 2 times 2 times 2 equals 8. 54 equals 5 times 5 times 5 times 5 equals 625. 15 equals 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. 02 equals 0 times 0 equals 0. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Fancier multiplying special exponents. Okay, before we go any farther with exponents, there are two special cases we need to talk about. The first special case is where the exponent is 0, like in 50. The value of this is something you probably wouldn't have guessed. The rules say that any number to the 0 power equals, get this, 1. Too weird, eh? 20 equals 160 equals 1321 5870 equals 1. I know. Everybody says, but stuff like that should equal 0, not 1. Well, what can I tell you, it equals 1, and that's the way it is. Sometimes things in math come up that at the time you just have to accept and go on. This is one of them. Later on, after we do a bunch more exponent stuff, we'll come back to this one and see why it works this way. The other special case is when we have exponents that are negative numbers, something like 4-3. What does this puppy mean? Before you even try to guess, I'll tell you. The negative sign just means the number and the exponent go in the denominator bottom part of a fraction. And if there is nothing else around, a 1 goes in the numerator top part. So, stop. Hold on. Time out. Look at this stuff again. If we have 42, it means 42 equals 4 times 4 equals 16. If we have 40, it means 40 equals 1. If we have 4-1, it means even when the exponent is a negative number, the answer we get is positive. Okay, it's a number really close to 0, but it's still positive. Okay. Pop quiz time. True or false? 4-5 million is greater than 0. True. Hey, it's not much greater than 0, but even a bit bigger than 0 is enough. Got it? Great, let's go on. Since we've been talking about negative stuff, what about something like this? 6-5. This one is no special case or anything. It's just minus 6 times itself 5 times. It's 6 times 6 times 6 times 6 times 6 equals 7776. So, 6-5 equals 7776. You may have figured this next part out already, but I'll tell you anyway. If you have a negative number raised to an even number power, like 3-4 equals 81, you get a positive number for an answer. But if the exponent is an odd number, like 3-5 equals 243, you get a negative number for an answer. Let's put it all together. How about something like this? 5-4. Okay, no big thing, just take it step by step. The exponent has a negative sign, so put the whole thing in the denominator. So, now forget about the rest of the problem for a minute and just work on the denominator. 5-4 is just 5 times 5 times 5 times 5 equals 625. The exponent is an even number, so the answer is positive. So putting the problem all together, the exponent in that problem was an even number, so the answer comes out positive. The minus sign on the exponent means all the action happens in the denominator. Did you notice that when we raised negative numbers to powers, we always use parentheses? We write 3-4 and not minus 34. Why? Because in the list of what order you do things, exponents come before plus, x, divide by. So with parentheses we get 3-4 equals 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 equals 81. And without parentheses we get 34 equals 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 equals 81. Get it? We now have a more complete list of the order you do things in. The order is parentheses, exponents, multiplication and division, addition and subtraction. One way to remember the order these go in is to make a sentence from the first letters of the words. Parenthesis exponents multiplication division addition subtraction. A famous one of these for this is. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. But if you don't like that one you can make up your own. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Even fancier multiplying special tricks with exponents. Check this out. 42.3. What do you think this one means? Well, just take it one step at a time. 42.3 equals 42 times 42 times 42. And we know that 42 equals 4x4, so 42.3 equals 42 times 42 times 42 equals 4 times 4 times 4 times 4 times 4 times 4 equals 46 equals 4096. Let's try something else. Watch closely. 52 plus 3 equals 52 times 53, not 52 plus 53. Here's why. 52 plus 3 equals 55 equals 5 times 5 times 5 times 5 times 5. Now let's do some grouping with parentheses. 55 equals 5 times 5 times 5 times 5 times 5. Since all of the signs are x, we don't change anything by grouping. The next step is to write each of these groups as a number with an exponent. 55 equals 5 times 5 times 5 times 5 times 5 equals 52 times 53. And there you go. Okay, how about this? 23 times 33. Can we combine this one? Let's see. First, break it down. 23 times 33. 2 times 2 times 2 times 3 times 3 times 3. Now mix up the numbers a bit. 2 times 3 times 2 times 3 times 2 times 3. Next, put in some parentheses in special places. 2 times 3 times 2 times 3 times 2 times 3. Multiply the stuff inside each parenthesis. 6 times 6 times 6. And write this as a number and an exponent. 63. Okay, big deal, so what, who cares? Here's the deal. We started with 23 times 33, and ended with 63. That means, if the exponents are the same in a multiplication problem, you can just multiply the numbers under them. 23 times 33 equals 2 times 3, 3 equals 63. Examples. 75 times 45 equals 7 times 4, 5 equals 285. 26 times 46 equals 2 times 4, 6 equals 86. 3-2 times 4-2 equals 3 times 4, 2 equals 12-2. What happens with something like 35 plus 75? Can we leave the exponents in place and add this thing together somehow? No. If you read the chapters up to here, you probably remember problems like 30 equals 1. Back then, I said that you just had to accept that as so. I said that sometime later I would show you why it works that way. It's time. At the start of this chapter we had stuff like this. 52 times 53 equals 5, 2 plus 3 equals 55. Check out this one. 53 times 5-3. We can deal with this one in two ways. The first way is 53 times 5-3 equals 5, 3, 3 equals 50 equals 1. Oh yeah, so what? That doesn't prove anything. That's true, but now look at the second way we can do this one. Now put a denominator of 1 under the 5, 3, and we have. Now multiply and simplify. And there it is. 53 times 5-3 equals 50 equals 1. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Inside out exponents logarithms. You could ask the question, what exponent do you have to raise 5 to get 125? And most everybody would know what you meant and be perfectly happy. Everyone that is, except math types. Math people wanted a way to write stuff like that in a few numbers and symbols. They got one. What they came up with was the word log. A kind of funny word for math, eh? Well, who knows why they chose it, but what it means is, the exponent that you have to raise, after it you write a small number and then a regular size number. The small number is the number you multiply times itself. The big number is the answer you get when you do the multiplying. It goes together like this. So what if the exponent 5 must be raised to get 125? So, log 5125 equals 3. The way you say why this thing in English goes like this. Fancy way, the log base 5 of 125 equals 3. Less fancy way, log 5 of 125 is 3. But it means, the exponent that 5 must be raised to get 125 is 3. Always, always, always read the meaning when you look at logs. The little number after the word log is called the base. It is very important. In ancient times, before 1980, the only easy way to find the value of something like log 4256 was to try to look it up in a table of logs in a book. These tables are lists of logs that were printed in the back of many math books. Usually, the tables were only printed for two different bases, base 10 and another special base called E. We'll talk about the E thing some other time. Base 10 logs are used a bunch. They are used so much that when we write them, we can leave the base number out, like this. Log 10,200 equals log 200. So if you see log 1,000, it means log 101,000. And what does log 101,000 mean? Altogether now, the exponent that you have to raise 10 to get 1,000. Example. Okay, what if we have log 55 equals? What's the answer? Just read the meaning, it means the exponent that you have to raise 5 to get 5. Well, 51 equals 5, so log 55 equals 1. Example. How about log 31 equals? It means the exponent that you have to raise 3 to get 1. The special rule says 30 equals 1. So, log 31 equals 0. Example. Okay, try this. Log 12-10 equals. It means the exponent that you have to raise 12 to get minus 10. Well, you can multiply 12s together till the end of time and it will never get a negative number for an answer. So this one has no answer. Example. Here's a very nasty one. 7 log 7500 equals. What does this equal? Okay, don't panic, just read it. You might get a surprise. 7 raised to the exponent that you have to raise 7 to get 500. So what do you get when you raise 7 to the exponent that you have to raise 7 to get 500? You get 500. 7 log 7500 equals 500. But don't you need to find out what the exponent number is? Nope. Hey, if they don't ask for it, why do it? Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. Math Prof Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Math Prof Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. We're way off base change of log base. What if we really wanted to find out what that exponent was in the last example on the last page? Remember it? 7 log 7500 equals 500. So how would we find the answer? We could start the way we did on the log 5125 problem in the last page. Oops. 3 wasn't enough, and 4 was too many. 343 is a lot closer to 500 than 2401. That means the answer is closer to 3 than to 4. We know it's 3 something. But what? We probably can't find a calculator with a base 7 log key. We have to find a way to convert base 7 logs to base 10 logs so we can use a calculator or we're stuck. You're in luck. We just happen to have a formula to do that. Somehow I just knew we would. So if we have something like log 7500, we want to change this into a base 10 log. To do this, we make a fraction. The fraction has a base 10 log on the top, numerator. We put another base 10 log on the bottom, the denominator. We have. That's all there is to it. Now if we have a calculator with a log key, we can solve this puppy. Log 10,500 equals 2.69897 log 107 equals 0.845098. So that means 73.19368 equals 500. In general, using an AND beta stand for any old numbers we might have, we can say, this trick works for any base you want to change to. You could even say, if you wanted to, but why would you want to? Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. I'm positive absolute value. There's a funny looking set of lines that we sometimes use in math stuff. What the lines mean is, alright, we know you're in there, come on out with no minus sign. These lines are called absolute value notation. If whatever's inside the straight lines doesn't have a minus sign, nothing happens. If it does have a sign, it drops it before it comes out, maybe it also raises its hands. So, 5 equals 5. 23 equals 23. 3.14 equals 3.14. Example. So what happens if we have 3, 7? These lines kind of look like parentheses, don't they? Well, they work just like parentheses too. Do whatever's inside them first, then lose any minus sign on the way out. So, 3, 7 equals 4 equals 4. Example. How about this one? 5, 8. Okay, the lines are a type of parenthesis, so you do what's inside them first. 3. Then the thing left inside comes out without the minus sign. 3. But then the negative sign waiting outside sticks to it. 3. Example. Okay, now let's do 5, 7, 3. Step 1. 2, 3. Step 2. 23. Step 3. 2 times 2 times 2, 3. Step 4. 8. Example. Okay, let's go really crazy. How about 3, 7, 6, 9. Step 1. Do the stuff inside the absolute value lines. 4, 3. Step 2. Bring the numbers out of their own lines without their signs. Any signs waiting outside then stick to them. 43. Step 3. Apply the exponent. 4 times 4 times 4. 64. Step 4. Bring the number out without the sign. 64. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Radical. Roots. A while back, we talked about a way to write a number times itself. Stuff like 42. Math people wanted a way to turn this around and say, what number times itself equals 16? Math people like to write things as equations, not sentences. They make up little codes and use them instead of words. They wanted to write stuff like, the number that times itself equals 16. In a code that didn't use any words at all, what they came up with was a squiggle that goes around the 16. It looks like this. It means the number that times itself equals 16. The squiggle is called a radical. If we ask, what is the number that times itself equals 16? You might think that the answer is 4, because 4 times 4 equals 16. That's true, but it's not the only answer. Here's another one. 4 times 4 equals 16. Remember, a negative times a negative also equals a positive. So, a number that times itself equals, say, 16, is called a square root of 16. For positive numbers, there will be a positive and a negative square root. The positive number square root is called the principal square root. So now we can say, the square root of 25. Alright. Or say, the number that times itself equals 25. They all mean the same thing. When we did exponents, we had problems like 52 equals. Now when we have square roots, we have 2 equals 25. Looks like roots and exponents are related, eh? When we do exponents, we can have exponents other than 2. We can have exponents like 4 or 27 or any number at all. We can have the same kind of thing with roots too. We could say, the number that times itself, and then times itself again equals 27. The squiggle radical, for that looks a little different, it's... The little 3 in the squiggle tells us how many times we multiply something to get the number under the radical. When we need to multiply a number twice, we don't need to write the 2. Any other time, we write the number. So here we need to find a number where... The number, times, the number, times, the number, equals 27. We could think of this like... 3 equals 27. Sometimes we can figure these things out in our heads. Sometimes we can do them with a little work on paper. Most of the time though, we want to use a calculator. If your calculator has a key like this on it, you're in business. To do our last problem we might punch. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. More radical. Roots Roman 2. Let's say you had a nasty problem like this. Now maybe you know that. But with that exponent of 8 in there, things are not so simple. A really nice trick with exponents and roots is that when you have stuff like this, you can do either the exponent first or the root first. Do first whichever makes the problem easier. It's your choice. So we can do. And then do. 38 equals 6561. Yeah, you probably need a calculator for that last part, at least I did. This little trick works both ways. If we have, we can do the exponent first. Some people don't like the looks of the radical squiggle. They think it looks too much like a division problem. They wanted another way to write these. Here it is. A plain radical means the same as an exponent of 1/2. That is, radicals with numbers in them are the same as fraction exponents with that number in the denominator bottom part. And, watch closely. Say what? Or, saying it another way. So if we had. With this fraction exponent trick we can use all the rules we came up with for exponents. Like the one about combining things with the same exponent. If you read the exponent pages, you might remember problems like this. 33 times 23 equals 3 times 2, 3 equals 63 equals 6 times 6 equals 216. When we change roots to exponent fractions, we can do that too. So, change 2. 2x8 equals 16, so we have. And this is still just a square root, so we can say, what times itself equals 16? The answers are 4 and 4. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. Funny numbers math with letters. Maybe you have heard that algebra is math with letters. That's partly true. Algebra does use letters. But it also uses numbers, lots of numbers. It also still uses all the same rules we've already talked about. Okay, let's do letters. 3 times x equals 3x. Hey, that's not too bad, is it? That trick works with any letter, so... 2 times g equals 2g. 5 times b equals 5b. Dot 5 times z equals dot 5z. This trick even works with 2 or more letters. X times y equals xy. B times I times g equals big. A times l equals al. We can do division with letters too. But we don't get far with addition or subtraction. 3x equals 3x. A plus b equals a plus b. We know that. 32 equals 3 times 3. So it should be no big surprise that. W2 equals W times W. Examples. Simplify. 3 times x times y times z times z. 3 times 2. Simplify. 2 times a times a times b divide by c. Example. If a couple of numbers show up in a problem where everything is multiplied or divided, we can combine the numbers. Simplify. 3 times x times y times 4 times 2. 24xy. Example. If we have multiplication and division in a problem with addition or subtraction, we can do the multiplication and division but leave the addition or subtraction alone. Simplify. 2 times a b times b. 2a2b2. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev Next. MathProf Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev. more funny numbers like terms. If we have 3 pizzas and we go and get 2 more pizzas, we have 5 pizzas. 3 pizzas plus 2 pizzas equals 5 pizzas. Letters in math work the same way as pizzas. If we have 3x and we go and get 2x more, we have 5x. 3x plus 2x equals 5x. Just think of the letter x like the word pizza. 5 was the number of pizzas we had. 5 is the number of x's we have. We can do subtraction like this too. 6x, 2x equals 4x. Just like 6 pizzas, 2 pizzas equals 4 pizzas. If somebody asked you to add the number 6 and 3 pizzas, you really couldn't do it. Numbers and pizzas don't mix. The same goes for trying to add stuff like 3x plus 2. We have 3x's plus a silly 2. You can't add them together. So 3x plus 2 is just 3x plus 2. If we tried to add 3 pizzas and 4 bowling balls, all we would get is a big mess. You really can't add different stuff like this together and get anything that makes sense. The same thing goes for different letters. An X and a Y are as different as bowling balls and pizzas. You just can't add them together. So, 3x plus 4y is just 3x plus 4y. Let's go back to stuff we can combine. What could we do with something like this? 3x plus 4y plus 2x, 6 plus 7 plus 3y. We have two different x things in that mess. We can combine the two of them. 3x plus 2x equals 5x. Along with the rest of the blob we now have. 5x plus 4y, 6 plus 7 plus 3y. We can combine these. 4y plus 3y equals 7y, so we now have 5x plus 7y, 6 plus 7. We can also combine the minus 6 and the plus 7. Minus 6 plus 7 equals 1, start at 6 and go up 7. That means we now have 5x plus 7y plus 1. Now, all the things that have the same letter or no letter have been combined. That means we're done. When two or more things have the same letter or no letter, we call them like terms. A term means any number, letter, or group of numbers and letters that are separated from other things by a plus or a. Like means any term that has the same letter or letters, the same exponent of the letter or letters, or no letters at all. Copyright 2005 Bruce Kirkpatrick. Math Prof Home Pre-Algebra Table of Contents Ask a Question Prev.